Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing label. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He is he. He serves the terrible. All rise for King Caesar the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
From homeless people sleeping on the streets to people living in disgusting conditions, we take a look at 10 of the most homeless cities in the world. Number 10. Athens. Homelessness in Greece has significantly increased to 20,000 homeless people in recent years. About 50% of the homeless population roams the streets of Athens. A high rate of homelessness in this, the home of Aristotle and Plato, is largely down to the aggressive recession that hit Greece during the global financial crisis. The recession hit the country hard, reducing its gross domestic product by as much as 25% and causing unemployment rates to soar to 27%. Number 9. San Francisco. The Coalition on Homelessness reported that 10,373 people were housed in emergency shelters in San Francisco in 2013. The Homeless Advocacy Association aims at reducing this number over the next few years. It was formed in 1987 and created an ingenious way to end homelessness, printing and distributing a magazine, which they called the Street Sheet, to the homeless to sell. Today, they print 17,000 copies of this newspaper, which actually is the longest constantly running newspaper of its kind in North America. Number 8. Boston. Boston is the third major city in the U.S. with the highest number of homeless people. It also has the highest number of people living in emergency shelters, 16,540 to be precise. According to surveys, up to 25% of the homeless have jobs, but these jobs do not pay enough to fund a roof over their heads. The director of the Emergency Shelter Commission for the Boston Public Health Commission states that the city has one of the highest family homelessness rates due to the high cost associated with housing in Boston. Number 7. Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires has an estimated 15,000 homeless people. Sadly, 30% are children and 13% are elderly. The city provides shelters for the destitute, but it can only shelter a maximum of 1,700 people. The number of those without a roof over their heads is growing, and their chances of gaining employment are dwindling. Reasons as to why people end up homeless in Argentina are vague. Number 6. Mumbai. Mumbai has a population of almost 12.5 million. Over half of these residents live in one of the many thousands of slums in Mumbai. 25,000 of these people are broke and on the streets. Lack of affordable housing, job loss, attrition of family support, inadequate income, substance abuse, disability, and domestic violence are the leading causes of homelessness in Mumbai. Number 5. Jakarta. The homelessness phenomenon began with the reign of the tyrant general Suharto. Suharto instituted policies that oppressed the locals. His administration would grab land that was privately held under the pretense of development. However, the land was only used to enrich the government. This, in turn, pushed many people into the streets. The number has continued to grow over the years. In 2013, killer floods shattered the homes of over 100,000 people, adding that number to the total homeless people in the city. Number 4. Mexico City. Mexico City is home to over 30,000 homeless people. A disturbing 50% of these are children, and poverty is the main reason so many children do not have a roof over their heads. One major effect of poverty is family breakdown and physical abuse. Many children prefer to run away from their homes for fear that arguments between their parents will become violent. Some leave at this point, while others leave after a physical abuse incident. Number 3. Moscow. 3.4% of the population in Russia is homeless. Tens of thousands of the homeless population is in Moscow. Researchers place the number of homeless people in Russia at 1.5 to 3 million. Homelessness in this country has been the norm since World War II. Yuri, who has spent over 15 years on the streets, says he lost his house at the age of 29 upon his father's death. Yuri's sister sold the house and threw him out. Today, he lives with other homeless people at a train station and has $15 a day to survive. Number 2. Los Angeles. The streets of Los Angeles are home to over 57,000 destitute people. The majority are male and single, and half of these homeless people are African American, despite the fact that the black population only accounts for 9% of LA's total population. 31% of LA's homeless abuse drugs, while 18% are disabled physically. Their average age is 40. Although the women tend to be younger, 25% are also reported to have a mental illness. Number 1. New York City. There are 60,352 people without a roof over their heads in the Big Apple. This number includes 25,640 children, 22,386 are adults, and over 12,326 are single. These numbers have continued to rise steadily, regardless of the campaign promises by the new mayor, Bill de Blasio. De Blasio's plan was to shelter homeless families away from the usual cluster sites. Although Bill's administration was trying to move them into permanent houses, it is proving hard to fight the stubborn cluster site problem. Check out our other videos and remember to hit the subscribe button.
Is it a comforting place? Is it a fresh meal? Or is it simply a feeling of security? However, what if you didn't have these material wants or emotional stability? What if you were homeless? According to the Homeless World Cup, there is an estimate of 100 million people who are homeless worldwide. Homelessness is defined by the International Encyclopedia of Social Science as a condition of which an individual is detached from the bonds of society of a social and economic standpoint. Homelessness impacts society and those who are living in these unimaginable conditions, but through analyzing these states, homelessness can be identified as a worldly and ethical issue. Today, we will investigate homelessness in the continents of Australia, Europe, and North America. As stated by the Homeless World Cup, over 100,000 people sleep on the streets every day in the continent of Australia, and about 20,000 of those people live in the continent's largest city of Sydney. In Europe, Homeless World Cup has stated that 3 million people are homeless. Just within the past 5 years, many of those homeless were discovered to be families, women, and youth. According to a collection of sources from World Bank, University of Southern California, and Homeless World Cup, there are over 15 million homeless in North America. Nearly 3.5 million of those 15 million homeless live in the United States, and some even live right here in Charleston. Upon more research, it was discovered that many around the world become homeless because of the lack of employment, family issues, and unstable mental health. With those thoughts in mind, interviews were completed with the local homeless in hopes that these findings could support the International Encyclopedia of Social Sciences claims.
You are homeless, correct?
Yes.
How many years have you been homeless in Charleston?
About three.
Okay. And see the future for yourself. How are you going to try to get out? It sucks. How are you going to improve your life, though?
Got to quit drinking eventually.
Okay. Are you homeless in Charleston?
Yeah, I'm homeless.
Okay. How did you get here? How did you become homeless?
I lived in Virginia for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back here.
Yeah. Did you just fall on hard times or the economy?
My mom and dad died.
Okay.
And then I had nowhere to live.
Okay.
As one can see, the face of homelessness is all around the globe and touches millions of lives. However, as a society, we can help these individuals by allowing organizations to intervene. These organizations can help build housing, which leads to employment opportunities. According to Share International, these happenings have already been a positive impact on those in Brazil, Chile, and Indonesia, just to name a few. Nevertheless, these positive results cannot hide the ethical dilemmas of homelessness. As stated by Vincent Ryan Ruggiero, there is no magic majority view, and often these views are filled by emotion, not objectivity. This is very much true in the case of homelessness, because emotions help support the idea of providing for the homeless, while the opposing majority view uses reason for supporting their standpoint. While one tries to combat the ethical issue of homelessness on a small scale or tackle it globally while traveling to Australia, Europe, or North America, you can make a difference because positive actions are impactful.
The greatest night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far,
and I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails, but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here, this far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
You're going to work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine. We'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say
we can break this army here
and win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day.
Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Match the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Gentlemen in England, now abed, shall know
my name is the Lord. When I
tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but
they'll never take
our Independence Day.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
here's the turbo. All Earth working, Shazam's the turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. Build it and they will come. All right, well, we did. www.shazizradio.com. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Today, I want to talk about a subject that I just don't understand. You know, I'm into alternative energy and trying to prove to the world that free energy does exist. Trying to figure out methods by which to help make people's lives easier. But it doesn't stop there. Making people's lives easier who are in, I'd guess what they'd call a first world country. You know, that's a good thing. But the ultimate goal is to go further than that. The ultimate goal is to take it directly to what they would classify third world countries, or even beyond, I guess. You know, I look out there to this world and I watch as all the things unfold before my very eyes, all the different stories being told and trials and tribulations that my fellow brothers and sisters are going through across the land. And it really breaks my heart to think that with everything that we've been given, I mean, no matter where you believe that we came from here on this earth, this place we call Earth, our home, whether you believe it's a flat plane or a sphere or whatever, doesn't matter. Whether you believe that this Earth came from a higher power or, you know, was just an accident that just flapped into existence. It doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. Whether it's whatever shape it is. It's the shape that it's in that worries me. You know, there's a lot of people out there that claim to love the environment, but yet they don't seem to back the right causes. There's a lot of people out there that are working towards helping the homeless, but they need more help. There's a lot of people out there in this world that they just go through life oblivious to all that is. You know, if it ain't in my backyard and it ain't in my line of sight, then it's like, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. But if you ever want to understand homelessness, I guess pretty much you're going to end up having to become homeless to understand homelessness. You know, I googled it up on YouTube this morning because I got to thinking about this, because just the other day my wife was heading out to try to get some food out to some homeless people. And I'm thinking, you know, in my neighborhood, I can't even visualize there even being homeless people. I mean, not that I'm in the fanciest neighborhood, because I'm not. I mean, I live out in the country. I live around farmers that have a, big heart, and they do a lot of growing vegetables and cattle and, you know, chickens and eggs and all that kind of stuff. So pretty much can't see anybody going hungry out here. Because there's a lot of caring souls around me, which is wonderful. And I think that there should be a lot of caring souls around the world, and I believe there actually is. You know, maybe the situation is just so big that people get overwhelmed and don't believe that they could actually potentially make a difference. I'm kind of stumbling on my words because I just simply do not understand this. I do not understand homelessness. I do not understand starvation, and I don't understand sickness. I don't understand why the world chooses to be the way that it is. You know, when you see a man sleeping on the side of the road in some dirty old clothes, and you walk by them and look down on them like, what a bum, you know. You see a man sitting out there with a sign that has a, you know, will work for food or need help or traveling and falling on hard times or whatever, and you just walk on by. Now, I've had people tell me that, you know, you should not give those people money because they're just going to buy alcohol or drugs with it. And I guess I got a different way of looking at things, because I figure, well, you know, in this kind of world, that if the alcohol and the drugs is all they got, it's going to give them any sense of comfort. Who am I to judge? Who am I to look at a person that is claiming to be in need or appears to be in need and judge whether or not they're just somebody who don't want to work or just somebody who's falling on hard times? So when I have it available, I don't even think about it. I just reach in my pocket and give what I got, and I walk away. And I tell them, you know, tell them I love them and hope that they have a better day, and say God bless you. Hope that something works out for them. You know, me and my wife, we take in a lot of people in our home. A lot of people that fall on hard times, and even our kids. After our kids grew up and they fall on hard times, they come back. We've had many people stay with us. I don't think we can house the world, but I don't understand why the world can't house the world. I can't understand why governments and celebrities and corporations and companies and the average Joe can't gather together to resolve this issue once and for all. Maybe there are some people out there that just don't want to work, you know? But maybe there are some people out there that are truly struggling just to survive. And it breaks my heart, especially when it gets down to the point where it's the children out there that are picking through scraps that they find on the dirt that, you know, other people, adults, are sitting around eating, and the children are just trying to pick through the garbage to find something to eat. You know, if I was one of those adults and I was sitting there at the table, I would pick up one of those child and put them down there in front of my plate, and I would stand back and let them eat my meal. Does that make me any better than anybody else in the world? No, that makes me human. That means I actually care. But for this stuff to exist in this world of the day, I don't understand it. And there's actually a video link out there that said 10 homeless people who became rich and famous. Now, I would think that if you was homeless and you became rich and famous, you would want to take every red cent you had and try to uplift other people out there in the world who had been fell on the same exact hard times. Or all the celebrities out there who get on TV and they warm your heart, melt your heart or whatever, telling you stories of trials and tribulations that other people around the world are going through, and yet they're still living in an ivory castle, you know? With a golden staircase and lots of money involved. I would think that if I was that rich and I had a heart and I really cared, that, you know, I would use my resources to invest it, to help or to build or to do something. I would do it until I had no more to give. But I'm not rich. I'm just a man who looks out there and sees the lack of common sense going on in this world, that You know, there should not be anybody starving to death in this world. There shouldn't be anybody homeless. But there is. According to what we're told out there, there's quite a few homeless people in this world. Governments can afford to go to war with each other. They can bomb people into the Stone Age. They can afford to build prisons to lock up people. They can afford to waste millions of dollars. Or whatever form of money they got in their, whatever nation you come from. Poor children around the world having to pick through garbage in order to have a decent meal. Looking like they're on their very last leg on standing at death's door. How? How is this possible in the year 2017? Three Crows said, what happened to "We Are Our Brother's Keeper"? Treat others like you want to be treated. Now, man, those are some words. I am my brother's keeper. I'm my brother's servant, and I'm humbled and proud to be so. You know, I shared a story a few times, and I'll probably share it again before this show's over, about a miracle that some lady had did herself. And the miracle was the fact that she actually recognized that there was a baby out there in this world that was just in terrible shape. And she didn't just, you know, give him a little scrap of food and walk away from this child. She took this child on as a job. She took that child to get medical attention. She nursed that child back to health. And a year later, you see a healthy baby boy standing in a little red jumpsuit and nice little shoes and his backpack on. And I'm telling you, folks, that to me is a miracle. A miracle done by one caring individual. Now you just imagine what could happen if you could spread that, if you could get millions of people to do exactly what she did. Trying to get a copy of this, copy this picture link, because I'm going to post it in the chat room again. I'm going to post it in the chat room because if you ain't looking at the picture, you just can't understand what it is that I'm saying. If you have capabilities, if you're in the chat room, have the capabilities, click on that picture, please. Please click on that picture and just look at it for a second. This picture's sad and it's happy at the same exact time. You see a transformation of this child that should have never been in in the position that this child's in. And that lady had the heart and the willpower to take this child from that state of affairs up to this beautiful child standing there a year later. So, this isn't something that can't be done. This is something that can be done. Helping people up out of the great abyss that they seem to, you know, society has these cracks in the foundation and people seem to fall through a lot. And you need hands that will be willing to reach down there in that great abyss and pull them back to safety. Pull them back where their brothers and sisters are, where they belong. You know, I look at this picture and my heart's broken, and it's sad, and then looking over, it's happy. In the chat room, Barbara said the picture's not coming up. If you go to the link at the top of the page and click on Knight's podcast and scroll down, you'll find the picture. But I posted the link in there. You should be able to click on that picture, copy that link. I really hope you get to see it. You know, help me to understand, people. Help me to understand why the world has to be the way that it is. If one person can create a miracle such as what this lady has done, then imagine what a million people could do. You know, you look out there and you see all the different things going wrong. And you want to help. You really do. Should I sell everything that I own and give it away to the poor and become homeless myself? How do I do that and then still be able to help anybody? I'll tell you one thing. If I was filthy, stinking rich, I would live a humble life. It wouldn't be in no mansion. It'd be in a home just like I am right now. And every bit of money that I had coming in would go out to try to uplift people around this world. I wouldn't even ask them why they got in the jam that they got into. I would just try to show them a way out. You know, in our communities, and if we find that we got homeless people in our communities, we should gather together every like-minded individual in our community and show them the love that our brothers and sisters deserve. We should figure out ways to build them houses, buy up old properties and fix them up, or whatever it takes. Streak 11 said that the government is filthy rich, that's why we are poor. It's true. Uncle Sam probably lives in a golden castle and has all that bling around his neck and diamonds and jewels and riding around in a big giant limousine, flying on a corporate jet. It's disgusting, and I'm not selfish to the extent where I want people to not be able to get rich in the world and live the dream. But seriously, folks, how much do you need? Really, how much do you need? How much is too much? How much is too much whenever you got a baby that's in that condition somewhere in this world and you have access to a jet where you could literally fly to that country and uplift that child and save that child's life? It's disgusting. You know, in my book of faith, it talks about it's easier for a camel to thread an eye of a needle than a rich man to walk through the gates of heaven. Because if you think about life and death and birth and all that, when you come into this world, you ain't got nothing. And when you go out of this world, you ain't taking none of it with you either. Most of all you people out there listening to this radio show, you've got that understanding. You realize that. The only thing that I ask of anybody that's listening to this radio show isn't that, I don't need your donations. I don't even need asking you to put your donations out there. I'm just asking you whatever you can do to go out there and spread the world, the news to the world, that together we can make this better. Each and every one of you out there is a piece of the puzzle, and when you bring all them pieces of the puzzle, you start seeing the big picture of what life is all about. All the skills that you have, and whatever resources you can muster, you put yours with mine, and we go out there, we fix this world. Maybe we won't succeed. Maybe the task is so incredibly overwhelming, but is that any reason why we should lay down and give up? I don't think so. I think that there's got to be some way in the year 2017 that we could put together a business, send the money out to people that you know are going to deliver whatever needs to the individual directly. No middleman involved. You know, it's a doggone shame that you got to hear, like my friend Dublin, he coined the phrase guerrilla charity, you know, because they were actually arresting homeless people who was feeding homeless people. You're going to get a fine for going to feed somebody who's hungry. How wrong is that? In today's society, you should be honored for going feeding somebody in need. It used to be that if you did something kind for somebody else, people would recognize that you did something kind for somebody else. Now, governments want to persecute you because there's a homeless man standing out in front of a fancy restaurant. They want to use the law enforcement to make it out of sight, out of mind. No, you can't feed that homeless person. You might make them sick. We got a license to feed people. They just have to come in and pay first. It's disgusting. An anonymous 7275 said, if I had $1,000 a week to spend, I would be homeless. I wouldn't be homeless. $1,000 a week's a lot of money. But let me point something out. You go to just about any community and you look what it costs to rent. Just to rent, not to ever own, just to rent from some slumlord a building. I know a few areas where you can get rent a building for, you know, $300 or $400, a small room, a one bedroom studio apartment for like $300 or $400, but they go up from there, and they go up drastically. The more space you got, the more they go up. And I've seen and heard of communities just for 1 month's rent would be $2,500. And they wonder why people can't afford to live there. And we're just talking about the rent. We're not talking about the utilities and the groceries and the transportation or the fuel to put in that transportation. We're not talking about medical attention or anything like that. We're just talking about paying somebody for a little bit of space for some place to stay. It's disgusting. It's frustrating, it's disgusting, and it's sad that this world that has been blessed with so much abundance, and only a few can enjoy it. Now, I'm not trying to lay a burden on your heart to make you feel bad about yourself, because you don't have to feel bad about yourself. I don't want you to feel bad about yourself. I want you to go through life with the common decency that if you have anything at all that you can help anyone out, it doesn't matter what, even if it's just so much as a smile or a kind word or a little bit of words of wisdom or point them in the right direction to help that they can get, do the research for them. You know, hey, look, there is this shelter down there. They're really nice. They're clean. They'll keep you some food. And I'll check back with you and see how you're doing. And we'll see if we can find a way for you to get something. Some place to go. And if I got an extra room, I'll share it as well. You know, people don't... they don't need handouts. They need hand-ups. You know, when you fall down and somebody comes down and reaches their hand down and gives you a help up, you know, that's a good thing. Some people got a lot of pride and they're ashamed of the circumstances that they fell into and they don't want to ask for help. This world right now, I just don't understand. And I'm waiting for anyone to step forward to help me understand why this world is in the mess that it is. I get it. The governments are corrupt. They're filthy, stinking rich. They are a leech on the neck of society. The corporations and the companies out there have a bottom line. All they care about is the almighty dollar or the yen or the ruble or whatever it is that you got in your neighborhood. The power industries out there ain't got no heart. They'll shut your power off in a heartbeat. The only reason why they won't shut you off in the winter time, if you're already on, well, I'm sure some nations probably would, is because they passed laws to ensure that people wouldn't shut your power off whenever it was cold outside and you wouldn't freeze to death. But once it's off in the summertime, if you can't get it on by the wintertime, they're free and clear. They don't have to turn it back on just because it's cold outside. You think about the elderly. Think about the sick. Think about the handicapped. They fell through hard times and they got their lights shut off or the power shut off during the summertime, and then in the wintertime was gaining on them and they got to find a way to get warm. It's either go stay with friends and family if you have them, or it's to try to figure out a way to heat your house. And a lot of terrible tragedies came about from people trying to heat their house in the wrong way. And eventually when they lose their house, they end up becoming homeless. Military veterans that had to do things that they couldn't possibly imagine why or how it was that they were even able to do these things. They come back and they're so broken and tore up. They just lose all hope. And hopelessness leads to homelessness, which leads to more hopelessness. Alcoholism and drugs and whatever. Why? Why is our world allowing these people to suffer? If you see somebody's in a living hell, how could you not try to pull them out? I know that the majority of the people listening to this radio show right now are out there doing something every day they can. Every day they can, they're doing whatever they can, but they need other people's help. They need your help. They need your neighbor's help. They need your friend's help. There's a lot of people in this world in trouble. For those of you who got to see that picture of that little baby, that's, to me, that's the difference that can be made by the average Joe, the average Jane, That's the difference. That's the goal we're shooting for. That's the ultimate dream. When people care enough to take their portion of their life out to go and help this baby. You see in the background this picture how many people just walking on by like it ain't nothing but a thing that this child looks like that? Shame on those people. It disgusts me. Barbara Three Crow said the Three Crow said that no one should be without a home either, or that homeless person will annoy their customers. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That because people that are fairly well off and they're going to a restaurant, they don't want to pass some homeless person asking them for money while they're going in to have a meal. How dare that homeless person destroy their day? But man, just think about before you had the meal. Before you had the meal and you knew that there was somebody in this world that was doing without. And you actually had to give or you had the words. See, this is the thing about this whole deal. I'm not talking about you going out there handing your money over to people. I'm talking about you using your words and your power and your status and your actions to go out there and help motivate the rest of the world to help you resolve this issue. Find this person a home. Find this person a job. Find this person some help. Three Crow says, is there so much sorrow that people have become numb that they can't see the starving child, another suffering as they themselves are? Yeah, I can't walk through life with blinders on. And if you can, I really feel sorry for you. Because I would rather be walking in reality than be fooled by the veil that is over everyone else, and nobody but the few see the truth. You know, they talk about the truth or community. They talk about alternative energy. They talk about alternative media. They talk about alternatives to the actual system of the beast that's eating everybody alive. And I'm sitting here trying to tell you that the people can destroy the beast. Together, the people can. It's like what that grasshopper was telling the ants inside there. What are you saying? You know, when they realize that they outnumber us 10-1, we're gonna lose everything we got, folks. You outnumber the elite thousands to one. It's a small percentage of the population that live in the ivory towers well above everybody. You're the base of the pyramid holding up the structure that you despise. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity. I'm anti-ignorance. You know, you go to court and they always say, ignorance is no excuse to the law. Well, what about natural law? What about the natural law of your brothers and sisters out there suffering? Is ignorance an excuse for that too? I just don't get it. And I'm reaching out and I'm asking everyone and this brother and their cousin and then some to try to help me to understand. Why it is that in the year 2017 we see such terrible things occurring? Okay, so nature will get riled up once in a while and create a tsunami and an earthquake and go destroy people's homes because somebody chose to build it in a wrong place and then sell it to somebody who probably wasn't aware that their house was in a flood zone or an earthquake-prone neighborhood or the structural integrity of it. They just wanted to make money, so they built the house just anywhere and sold it to some poor suspecting soul who then in turn end up in a flood zone. Now, if you built the house yourself on the flood zone and didn't do the research, I can understand your loss. I feel for you, but once again, a little bit of wisdom goes a long ways in this world. We have the technology, literally, to build nearly indestructible housing for people all over this planet. There are people who live in flood zones who actually have houses that float for just such an emergency that the creek might rise or the river. There are people that build their houses underground. There's people that build their houses in the side of the hill. There's people that build their houses out of materials that won't burn. There are solutions for all these problems out there. If you choose to live in a flood-prone zone, at least have the wisdom to buy yourself a house if you can afford it that would not sink. But if you ain't even got the choice because of the circumstances you find yourself in and you fell through the cracks of society, then that's where somebody else, some of your other brothers and sisters in the world should want to step in and try to at least advise you on what to do. Three Crows says, to me it is deliberate agenda to isolate us to create fear of others. And that's true. That's true. That is so incredibly true, because I remember a time when a person walking down the road, they put their thumb out, it was a sign, I need a ride, are you going my way, you know? And people would stop and pick them up and give them a ride. But then the mainstream media started telling everybody and his brother who had their thumb out was an axe murderer or a escape criminal, and they were going to kill you if you did. Or maybe you're driving down the road and you're from a middle class area and you see somebody who's not dressed as well as you, and you're thinking, well, you know, they probably stink and I'm in a hurry, I don't know what diseases they got, and so for fear of your own safety, you locked the door and drove right on by. It's sad, but it's true. That's the mindset that has been pounded in the brains of all the humans out here by the mainstream school system, the mainstream media, the governments of all the different communities, whether it be from the village all the way up to the White House. You know, when the politicians come out there and they say all the fancy words that they say, oh, I'm going to fix all this stuff, and I'm going to make it so you can have health care and this and that. They're just saying whatever they can say to get elected. That's why I invented Congressman Bongwater. Elect me and I'll screw you on taxes. I mean, you might as well be honest about it. That's exactly what you're going to do, because you're going to tell me that you're going to do one thing, and by the time you get in there, you're going to do completely the opposite. Jamson in the TCT chat room said, we have all been misled and dumbed down for thousands of years. Isaiah 6:10, Isaiah was commissioned to dumb us down, mislead us from getting a healing image how good they are now at the quantum AI targeting individuals. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on out there. I think the governments ain't testing things, you know, shadow governments, secret societies, and all the craziness. It's mind-blowing. If you can think it, chances are somebody else has thought it, and they're probably trying it and, you know, trying to do whatever. But nonetheless, the reality of it is the people are really the ultimate power, regardless of what you think. And trying to tell somebody, wake up, it's a bad dream you're in, and the answer's over here, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and they don't believe it because they were taught not to believe it. They were taught not to believe you. They were taught not to talk to each other. They were taught to look at each other differently. Your skin is different color than mine. Your face is different than mine. You speak funny. They were taught to notice differences in each other. As long as people are able to talk to each other, then they might figure it out. They might figure out that they do outnumber the elite. Streak 11 says, giving to others, starting with reaching out even in your own neighborhood, start with a small group and push them to give beyond their neighborhood to their community in their city, then their states, and beyond that. We have a co-op garden in our neighborhood and trade, give to other neighbors, especially if they are barely getting by. Any chance we get when we see a homeless vet, we give what little we have. It is weird how the people that have the least give the most. We get by too, but we still try to give others less fortunate when we can. Now, you said something really important right there. I have noticed that the people who actually respect what they had and are thankful for what they had, who actually have the least, usually end up giving the most. You know, these people out there who are supposedly, you know, celebrities who really say, oh, well, you know, I care about the starving children, I care about homelessness, I care about, you know, people's safety, you know, and they still ride around the limousine. I mean, okay, hold on a second. Why don't you take an Uber cab and use the money that you would have used for the limousine to feed somebody else? Instead of eating caviar, why don't you try some bologna like the rest of us and take the rest of that money out there and send some clothing over to somebody? I don't understand it. Why people elevate the so-called celebrities to godlike status and put them up on a pedestal. Oh, I want to be like these people. I don't want to be like those people. I don't want to be rich and famous. Why would I want to be like that? They're hypocrites. I ain't no God. I ain't no king. I ain't no leader. I'm just a man looking out into the world who sees what needs to be done and is disgusted by the lack of common sense of what is being done. Three Crow said there has been an agenda to separate us from the truth that we are all children of this earth, that we are all related. The religions teach their church is the one church, their God is the right God, and others are the enemy. And see, I don't even understand that. I'm a Christian, and I don't go around and think that I know that I'm right, because I don't know that I'm right. I just have to have faith that I'm right. But nonetheless, I'm not going to discount their spiritual journey, because they don't know either. None of us know. But we all have the feeling inside of us that, you know, what the difference between right and wrong are. I get to the other side, I'll find out whether I was right and wrong, but I need to practice what I preach. I need to treat others the way that I want to be treated. And I don't want somebody coming over there telling me my God's wrong and I got to follow them, or I'm going to go to a different kind of hell or whatever. You know, I don't need that, and I don't want to do that to nobody else. I want to, if my light is right, then people will see it and they will adopt it into their life. And you notice I didn't say follow because I don't want people following me. I want people walking beside me because they are my equals. They're my brothers and my sisters, and that's the way this world should be. We shouldn't elevate people up to celebrity status, and we shouldn't give governments of the world the power that they have over life and death, over the entire world. Oh, well, you know, these folks came over and bombed us, so we got to go over there and bomb a million people and make them homeless and add to the problem instead of trying to figure out a way to bring those individuals to justice alone. I think the nations would be a little bit more apt to work with you if you worked with them and you said, look, you know as well as I know that wasn't right. So you need to help us get these people and bring them to justice or something. Otherwise, the alternative is we do what we did before, that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't advocate violence in any way, form, or fashion. So sometimes you can't help but defend yourself. In this world, in this day and age, and I'm once again, I'm failing to understand why it is. If there are really 9 billion people on this planet, 9 billion people, think about it. It's like the that show that I played the little podcast for there about the ants. And the guy said, you let one little ant stand up to you, and the next thing they all see you, and they all stand up to you, and they realize that they outnumber you, and then it's over. Our way of life is gone, and no more being in control. And that's all this is about, control. The elite up there playing games with the average Joe's lives. It disgusts me. It disgusts me to our core, and we're waiting around for them to find redemption, and they're never going to find redemption. These governments and these corporations and companies and secret societies, they're never going to find redemption. They don't want redemption. They want power. They want money. They want the gold. And so we have to spread a word of understanding across this globe. Flat Earth, or whatever it is you think it is, it don't matter to me. I don't care if this planet is a dodecahedron, a triangle, a square, or whatever. That don't matter to me at all. What matters to me is where we're going to go from here. The one lady saw the baby that was in such terrible shape. She first gave the baby some water. She gave the baby some food, and she took that baby in her arms and took this baby to get medical attention. End up a year or so later there, you see this miracle right before your very eyes. This doesn't even look human on the left, and this beautiful child on the right. That's the power that is within each and every one of you out there. And I don't care what your financial circumstances, and I don't even care. I do care if you're homeless. I'm saying that even if you're homeless, you can still make a difference. That's how powerful you really are. Your words and your actions and the way that the path that you walk in life will make a difference to people around you. And if you choose to walk a certain path and you stay consistent with that path, they're going to notice that consistency. They might not come around. They may never come around. They may never understand. But the chances of them looking at your life and seeing that there's something worthy to adopt in theirs is a whole lot better if you're true to yourself and you stay consistent and walk your path. You got a lot more power than you can possibly imagine. Each and every one of you. The power of the spoken word, you can raise somebody's soul, their spirit, up to the highest points of heaven just by the words coming out of your mouth. And you also have the power to drop them down to the lowest, darkest, deepest, blackest abyss of hell you can imagine with the words coming out of your mouth. Now you tell me that ain't power. wars have been started over over words. That's just the power of your words. That's just the power of what comes out of your mouth, the power of your actions. You know, you throw the positive pebble in the pond, and those pebbles, that ripples go, and they affect every single person in that pond. So everything you do affects everyone on this planet. There ain't nobody who ever missed out on any choice you ever made. Nobody. They might not have noticed it, but they didn't miss out. I guarantee you that. The power of your actions are just as powerful as your words. And the day you decide to pick up a pen and put those words to paper and send them off to somebody of importance in this world, you'll find out the power of the pen. And the one last power that you've got, the most powerful tool in your arsenal that can overcome any darkness is that light, is the love that you carry in your heart. You truly love from your heart. I guarantee you, you can love and love and love and never run out in your heart. Your mind can tell you that, because your mind is so powerful, your mind can tell you, oh, I just can't love anymore. No matter how much I love people, they just do me wrong. No, you stay true to your power. You stay true to the power that your Creator put inside your heart, because there ain't no touching that. Governments of the world and the enemies of the world and all the different differences of the world that come against you, they cannot touch that heart. Sure, they can take the life out of you. They can kill you. But they ain't took that life out of your heart. They ain't took that love out of your spirit. They can't change your spirit unless you choose to allow them to do so. And if you take all those powers that I just mentioned to you, I don't care where you're at, and you focus those energies towards whatever it is that you want in this world, you'll make it so. This whole world out here, you know, it's a mess. And I had some sort of spiritual enlightenment the other day that it just blew my mind. I was sitting out by the pond and I was skimming off duckweed because this pond is overcome by duckweed. And I'm thinking about it all. And I'm thinking about the world. And I'm thinking about everything. And I'm thinking about who's going to come here and who's going to help me clean this mess up. And I'm looking at that pond as if it was the world, and I'm looking at all the duckweed as all the people out there, and I'm skimming off the duckweed and I'm putting it over there on the shore, and I keep on doing this and I keep on doing this because all the duckweed is killing off the water. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. The best person in this world to clean up any mess is me. And the best person in this world to clean up any mess in this world is you. You walk past a pile of trash in the ground and you just walk past it, then, maybe the next guy will get it. And the next guy does the same thing, and the next guy does the same exact thing, and the next guy, and everybody in the trash pile just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Finally, you work your way back around there and you say to yourself, well, looks like the best person in the world to clean up this mess is me. Nobody else is volunteering. So you jump in there and you clean it up, and you just took one little spot of this earth and you made it look better. So I've dedicated myself to taking this little piece of property that I'm on, and I'm going to literally build a new Garden of Eden. I'm going to do it. Piece by piece, inch by inch, I'm going to clear this land, and I'm going to make this land so beautiful, so abundant. And this land is going to be a sanctuary for people out there in this world that need some place to go. And as long as when they come here, they understand that's what it's about. They don't work for me. They work for themselves. And if they see something on that land and they choose to be inspired to make that land look even better, and I'll show the world out there what can be done, what could be done. You know, I think about this world, what it looked like when it was first created, and it must have been a sight to behold. It must have been beauty of all that. You just think about the most amazing picture you've ever seen in your life. Go out there and Google up semi-precious stones and minerals and stuff like that, and look what rocks look like when they're polished up. Imagine all the seashores looking like that. All the colors of the rainbows and all the stones and all the plants and everything looking so beautiful. You think about that. Think about what this earth looked like right straight off the storeroom floor or whatever. The shell. Brand new. Well, I'm going to take my little piece of land out here and I'm going to try to make it look like that. And if I'm successful, I show it to the world. And what can be done. And I'm going to continue to work on alternative energy. I'm going to keep on sharing information with people around the world in hopes that they follow along or jump in there and pitch in. You know, roll up your sleeves and help me out. You know, this radio show, Knights of the Round Table, has had so many brilliant individuals on here. There's altogether between the Mad Science and the Knights of the Round Table, there's over 400 podcasts in there. I hate listening to myself because I sound like a loudmouth. I sound like I know it all, but I don't know it all. That's why I'm out here trying to recruit you. All the individuals out here, the other pieces of the puzzle with knowledge and wisdom, bring them to the table and we can all figure things out, because one man can't do it by himself. I'm just one little piece of the puzzle. And if there are 9 billion people on this planet, then that means there are a whole lot more pieces of the puzzle that need to be gathered before we can get the big picture and the whole meaning of life. I understand what needs to be done. And together I honestly believe that we can do it. Because I still believe in the dream. Even though, you know, we're told time and time again, oh, it's not possible. You can't do that. There's a million and one reasons why you can't do something. You look in the background of that picture and you see how many people standing by and how many people walking by, and you think about that's just one little tiny speck in the grand scheme of things of all the different atrocities that's happening throughout all this entire world that we call home. And you weigh in the factor of how many people were just like this lady who did the exact same thing. They are like the opposite spectrum of the elite. They're the people who aren't trying to destroy the world. They're the people who's trying to fix the world. They're the people like you that's walking in your local community and find the park that's trashed, and you take the time to go back there and clean it up. They're the people like you that are down in the streams pulling junk out of there and putting it in its proper place. They're the people like you that are going out there and feeding those who are homeless and hungry and sick and bringing them medicine and doing things. And they're the people like you that are out there smiling upon the world. They're the people like you. They're not the global elite. They're not the government. They're not the companies, the corporations, the secret societies. They are the people like you, the people that are possibly able to make it all right. You could do exactly what this lady did, and you could make a miracle come true. You know, I don't want to be a motivational speaker. I don't want to sit around and try to give everybody in the world a pep talk and not try to get out there and do things myself. If you only knew, if you could follow me through a day of my life. When I wake up in the morning, I'm a servant to the world. I'm a servant to my God, and I'm a servant to this land, and I'm a servant to my brothers and sisters, and I'm a servant to all the animals that walk this land. I go around, I get my coffee, I go around, I feed the goldfish and the other fish and the ducks and the turtles or whatever. Whatever's out there, I'll take care of them too. That don't make me a better man. That just means I get it. It means I understand. So while I'm doing all that, I'm asking you to help me understand how it is that there's a word such as homeless in the year 2017. That one little podcast portion that we played at the beginning of the show there talked about how there was a program out there where they were actually printing up a newspaper and allowing the homeless people to sell these newspapers in order to, you know, give them things that they needed. It may not be the best step in the world, but it is a step in the world. And if there's a way that you can make them, help them or do something to give them a leg up in life, then, you know, maybe the problem could actually solve itself. Maybe they would be the next multi-million dollar newspaper. And I'll tell you, if you come from a homeless to even living like I am blessed to live, and you're going to be respecting everything that you've got, you're going to be thankful for all the blessings, you're going to be thankful for all the wonderful people that come in your life. I am so thankful for everything that's in existence. I'm thankful for this earth, and I want to do my part, and I want to work in harmony with this world, and I want to help this earth heal itself. I want to help my brothers and sisters around there heal the heartaches of life. I can't do it alone, but I can do my part in my little section. If I can make my one little Garden of Eden look so well, then maybe my Creator will smile down on me. That's the way I believe it all works. And I believe that when people finally get it, and they finally understand that we have to come together, we have to come together. There's no choice about it. Because if in the year 2017 things are as bad as they appear, imagine what they will be like in the year 2077. Maybe we won't even be here. I'm not a fear monger. I'm not somebody who's going to tell you about doomsday, because I don't want to know about doomsday, because we're living in doomsday right now. We're literally watching our fellow brothers and sisters walk through the great abyss. We're literally seeing hell on earth. And unfortunately, a lot of it is self-inflicted. It's sad, but true. Because we put the power of our lives in the hands of representation that does not do its job. We thought it best to have somebody else tell us how and when to do things. We thought it best to find leaders and kings and queens. You know, when I talk about old King Shaziz the Terrible on here, It's a joke. I don't want to be no king. I just want to be a partner to all my brothers and sisters around the world who want to fix this mess. I want to do what in my heart feels right. I want to leave behind a world so much better than what I've had to witness for my grandchildren and their grandchildren and beyond. That's why I'm here, folks. That's why I'm doing what I am doing. That is my only agenda. I've seen things in my life that no man or woman should ever have to see. Terrible things. And I'd never want to utter those words and bring them into existence. And I wouldn't wish none of what I've ever seen in my eyes, in my mind, I would never wish it upon any, even my worst enemy. There's only one room for one thing in my life, and that's my love, my heart. That's it. I'm not even going to entertain any of the rest. I'm going to speak from the heart any words of wisdom that come to my mind, and I'm going to keep on keeping on doing everything I can to try to say or motivate or do or help out in any possible way to try to make this world so much better than what it is. And as far as I'm concerned, if there's a scratch on it, and you repair that scratch, at least it's being maintained. Hope you understand what I'm saying there. That this world, Mother Nature, or Mother Earth, wherever you want to go, God's creation, if it's got a scratch on it, and you help repair it, at least it's being maintained. You know, it's like anything else in this world. If you don't take care of it, it just falls apart. But what you don't use, nature's going to take back. If you want to build something in this world, you got the materials necessary to do it. Because nature's already provided all the power and energy we could use for a trillion, trillion lifetimes. You know, it's sad that somebody on this planet's thirsty when the earth is 3/4 covered in water, for Pete's sake. The amber fields of grain. You think about all the land and all the water and all the... There's more resources, more abundance in this world than we could ever use in a trillion, trillion lifetimes. This earth is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's a thermal electric generator, a static generator. It produces heat, it produces cold, it produces everything you can imagine. And it all recycles itself over and over and over again. The question we all have to ask ourselves is, do we as humanity have enough time to wait around for nature to do the job that we should have been helping all along? We can make perfect engines that don't pollute in any form or fashion. We can make perfect machines that are super efficient. We have the technology. We have every single piece of the puzzle in order to make this world so incredible. I mean, you think about this for a second. Really seriously think about it. You see a family that goes out and they are managed to be able to get a fixer-upper home. And they get that thing to where, heck, they can even stay in it. It's still not done, but it's, you know, it's at least livable. It has running water and some lights and You know, need some walls and repairs around there, but it, gradually they keep picking at that, and they keep making it, and eventually a couple years down the line, they're like, you remember what this place used to look like, and now what it looks like now? They did it. When they're done using it, nature will take it back, of course, when they stop maintaining it. If we're all good caretakers of everything that we, you know, use from nature, nature will be a great caretaker for us. I've seen it. I've seen it in real life. I have seen what nature has done for me. The harder I work this land, the more nature gives back. I'm seeing fruit trees pop up that I never knew were even there before. I kept on planting. I kept on doing things. And I'm seeing trees that, you know, this place, when I first got here, was nothing but thorns. Thorns and junk and trash. And I kept on picking at this property and picking at it and kept on working in harmony with nature. I can stand out there in the field and talk to a bunny rabbit sitting on the other side of the pond. They're not afraid. Nature understands. Now it's for us to understand. I just want you to help me to understand why it is that anybody in this world has to do without. Why it is we can't put a home out there for everyone. Governments say they care about you. People say they care about you. But actions speak a whole lot louder. You know, you got the power of the spoken word. You can motivate. You can move things up and down with the power of your spoken word. But it's your actions that gets it done. In my mind, it's so incredibly simple how to fix this mess. The only conundrum, the only riddle is how to reach your voice out to enough people in this world to motivate them. It's like throwing the positive pebble in the pond, and I talk to somebody who throws another positive pebble in the pond, and then another person, and then another person, and they talk to somebody else, and it keeps on going and going and going until eventually it covers the entire earth. But the forces of darkness, they don't want that to happen, I guess. And we the people aren't ready because it hasn't been done. We haven't made it so. I ain't never had one single video ever go viral. I ain't never had one single podcast ever go viral. I ain't never had one single thing that I've ever said or done on this crazy internet ever go viral. You know, if I get out there and put on a clown suit and start threatening the president and acting a fool and all that kind of stuff, there's some people out there on YouTube who blow your mind at some of the stupid things they do, and it just spreads like the plague. Everybody and his brother wants to see that video. It's so funny, it's so cute, or whatever. But you, when you talk about doing some work, when you talk about trying to make this world a better place, but then it actually takes getting up off the couch and doing something, let's go look at that kitten video again. I have faith that humanity will wake up. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I believe wholeheartedly that on the path that humanity's on right now, we are heading for sure disaster of biblical proportions. I believe that we're heading down a path that it's going to get so bad that people are going to want to start turning back. And we may already be there right now because you got more people coming on board and more networks joining in with Shaziz Radio and TCT and all the other affiliated networks. And they're talking about it. They're trying to find solutions to everything under the sun. You were heading down the path and they're like, wait a second, that doesn't look very good where we're going. Let's kind of back up and take a second to think about this thing. And they're trying. There's a lot of people out there trying to make this world a better place. One lady was successful with one child. Now we need more people to be successful with more. If there's children in this world being used and abused and starved and mistreated, then we need to stand up. We need to stand up. We need to seek them out. We need to find it. We need to fix it. We need to do this thing. I'm telling you, if it comes in my circle, the knowledge of anything that needs to be resolved like that, I can guarantee you I'm going to go for broke. I can't travel the whole world. I can't pick up a basket and hand everybody bread and fish. It never ends. I would. If I were God and had the power, I'd snap my fingers and I'd make it all right. But I don't think that's the way it's supposed to go. I think we're supposed to learn. I think we're supposed to figure it out. I think we're supposed to realize that until we work together like a well-oiled machine, like a fancy Swiss watch, then we're going to get what we got. I believe that if you believe hard enough, in my book of faith, it said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. You could speak to that mountain and tell it to move, and it would be so. That's a tiny amount of faith. I got the faith the size of a mountain, and I believe that if I keep on doing what I'm doing, then I will make it so. I'm not ready to give up. I'm just in a lot of pain watching my brothers and sisters around the world being in pain. I'm in a lot of pain watching my brothers and sisters suffer and starve and be sick. I could get up from this chair and never say another word. I could just live out the rest of my life and just walk away. Do my own thing. But if I sit in this house and I got all these luxuries and I ain't trying to do nothing to make anybody's life any better, I ain't no better than the richest elite. The very best meal that I ever had was from the poorest family that I ever met. And it wasn't because of the fanciness of the food or the fanciness of the dishes that they were on. It was because of the way, the manner in which it was given. Even though they didn't have much, they gave all they could give to a total stranger. And it warmed my heart. To me, that's what it's all about. Well, Patty said, who is on with you, Shaziz? Right now, nobody but you if you want to join. And I sure could use your help, lady. I'm going to see if I can add Patty in here. Sure would love to talk to that lady. Folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. There we go. Aww. answer yet. She's got to get her mic. All right, she'll call in when she's ready. But folks, help me understand. Teach me how to send a message viral. Teach me how to send a message of hope, peace, and love to the world that would tell them that we have the answers if we choose to use them. If I can make it to the top of the mountain, and if I could only have their ear for just a little bit of time, I would give everything I got just to be heard. There's so much we can learn from each other. There's so much we can do for each other. There's so much that we can fix. There's so much that can be done if we only believe in ourselves and each other. You know, I do what I do for a reason, because it's so embedded in my heart that this world is in so much trouble that it needs to be said. It needs to be done. I work on alternative energy, free energy, because I want to make this world a better place, and I know I can do this thing. I know I can do it. I know we can build perfect generating systems. I know that we can give the world exactly what they need. I know we can do this. I know so deep down in my heart. I know with everything I got that this is possible. I know that we can fix this world. I know, like I said, in my book of faith, my Lord told me that if I had the faith of a mustard seed, I could move mountains. And I got the faith of a mountain, and I believe it. So if I keep throwing these positive pebbles out there in the pond, maybe somebody else is going to start doing the same exact thing, and we're going to start a tsunami of love across this globe.
Indeed. Indeed, here comes a tsunami. It's on its way. Do not head to higher ground.
Yeah, you need to stand there and hang on to this one.
Morning, Shaziz. How are you?
A little emotional now.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Welcome, my friend.
Well, thank you.
I'm just trying to figure out a way to send a message across the world, and that's why, you know, I don't care how many people would listen to any show that I did. I would make that podcast, and I would have that podcast forever immortalized in digital cyberspace, and I'd keep shipping it out. And I keep on doing it. You know, there's a movie out there, Field of Dreams, talked about Build It and They Will Come.
Well, you know what's so cool, though, Shaziz, is that this morning while you've been talking, pouring your heart out, that's exactly what you've been doing. You've been sending it worldwide. Like that pebble that you always talk about. That frequency, that energy, it's going, you know?
And I believe that.
Yeah, I do too. And there are things that are happening. There are things that are good. There are a lot of people who are coming together. We don't hear about it and we don't see it because there's so much of the chaos in the world right now that they want us to see. That's how they want to portray us against each other, because that's their agenda. That's where they're heading.
Well, I'll tell you what. To all the folks out there in this world, if you find any good stories, I don't care, ship them our way, because, you know, this takes a toll. It really does.
Yeah, it does.
We need to know. We need to know that somebody out there, something is right.
Well, something is right. She says, you're right. I'm right. Deb and Shannon in the chat, they're right. Barb, you know, there's a lot of people that we know, she says, and they all feel the same way. They are all here bearing their hearts, doing everything that they can, and that's all we can do.
You know how amazing
that's
that
why
is,
we're
Patty?
Here.
I got so much love in my heart. I got more heart love in my heart to give, and to have all you folks that are the same size of heart or even huger than mine. I mean, we're like we're in this huge ocean of love, and the tsunami is building up and it's rolling out to the world, and I believe that is what is needed in order to make things in this world the way they should have been all along.
It's the only thing that can lead us that way. The only way that we change things is how we commit ourselves to that change. And there are many people that are so confused right now. They live their whole lives just like us, Shaziz, you and me, and everybody else. We woke up.
Yep.
We weren't born awake. We came into this world thinking that what we saw was reality. Learning in school that what we saw was reality. Learning as adults that what we lived was reality. And now we know that there's a difference. That this is not our reality. This reality belongs to the controllers. And we realize this. And we are stepping out. And more people are hearing what we have to say because they're seeing what they are doing, what the controllers are doing, and they're realizing that, whoa, this ain't right. This isn't working.
I'm waiting, hoping, and praying for the sleeping giant, which is we the people, to finally stand up. You know, if you were in a terrible situation or a war zone or a battle zone and you got your children and your family with you and you all take off running for some reason and one of y'all fall down, how many of you go back to grab that person and pick them up?
Yep.
All of
you
do.
We're doing that.
Yeah.
We're doing that.
No man left behind, right?
Right. And here's the deal, is that she says, we are only who we are. And we have our gifts. And if we shine and we give those gifts freely, if we share those gifts freely, then we have done everything that we can do. And the person who is the recipient will learn and grow. And they will realize their own gifts. And then they will pass it on. It's like the pay it forward thing.
Yep.
You know? And we are seeing that. We truly are, Shaziz. We truly are seeing that. We get caught up because there's so much in our face because the controllers put it in our face of all the things that are wrong. And there are so many things that are wrong. But we forget people like you, Shaziz. People like Barb, like Devin, Shannon, everybody that we know, William Madsen just did a talk in the UK 10 years ago. They were ready to put him into an institution because he believed differently from everybody else. He believed in love. He believed in the source of love. And they did not understand him. Now he's giving talks to people who are quoting stories that he heard from the people here an ocean away.
That is awesome. That is so awesome.
That's what we do. And we don't see that, you know. We don't see that. But it's there. And it's across the world. You know. They just don't put it on the evening news for us to see.
Well, you know what? Maybe somehow or another we need to have our own evening news and show people the what can be done. That's why I said, you know, I own a small piece of property and I'm going to literally try to replicate the Garden of Eden, you know. I'm going to make it beautiful out here. I'm going to work as hard as necessary. And if you could only see what happens whenever I'm out there working on this and other people come along and they see and I explain to them what the ultimate dream of this place is as a sanctuary for the people and the animals. It's a place just to get away from all the madness outside the gate. I keep telling them that when I get this place polished up like it was whenever it was first created, I said that would be an example to show the world what could be done if you really wanted to, if you really believed that you actually wanted to take the time to put in the blood, sweat, and tears that, you know, to finally work in harmony with nature. And I told you a couple stories about how, you know, nature smiles back on me here. It's amazing. There's a big turtle. I call him Goliath. He's in this one pond out there. And at first, when I went down there, he'd rush off in the water and he'd hide or whatever. Big old giant turtle. And I came out there every single day and I'm scooping off the pond scum off the pond and I'm cleaning this pond up and I'm repairing the spillway, the dam on it. And I'm working on this pond every day, and every time I come out there, I bring a cup of fish food out there, the floating fish food, and I throw it out there, and he started eating the fish food, and then he got to realizing that every time he saw me out there, there was food involved. And so I made a friend.
Yep.
And that turtle actually swims up. When he sees me come out there, he swims up there to the shore and just looks at me like I'm... You know, you would your family pet.
It's the same way with Betsy at her house. We walk out to her pond, and all the fish, even the fish, the turtles, the frogs, they all come up because she knows that they're going to care for them, that she's there out of love. You know,
and they trust her. You tell me nature don't know. Nature knows, folks. Nature knows. Nature knows your heart. Them animals know your heart. They honestly do.
Yeah, they're better at reading us than we are at reading ourselves.
Patty, if we could take a lesson and an example from the way that animals react to us when we react with love and kindness to them, this world would be so incredibly awesome. We wouldn't even have to have this discussion.
Yep. But you know what, Shaziz?
Yeah.
Where you're at on your land, the world is that incredibly awesome. You know, on Betsy's land, the world is that incredibly awesome. And where we're at and we're doing our part and we're connecting and loving, we're seeing the same thing. It is that awesome.
So I
think that's what it's about.
We've got at least 3 to 4 polished sections of this planet right now that are working their way towards beauty again.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
If we can do that in our neighborhood, then everybody else can do that in their neighborhood. Eventually, those positive pebbles would do the job that they were intended when they were first thrown.
Yeah, let your first thought be love. Let your first thought be peace. Let your first thought be unity, you know, trust. All the things that make us shine. This should be what you're made of. And if those are your thoughts, then those are the energies that you're putting out. And nature is more receptive to our energies than we give it credit for. You know, people with house plants, they're always talking about, well, I talk to my plants and they love me. People might say, oh, that's silly. It's not silly.
It's real. I talk to my trees.
Yeah.
I talk to my trees and they give me fruit.
Yeah, they respond. Because it's not the words that are making the difference. It's what's in your heart that is radiating out toward them that is making the difference. We were talking about this in the chat yesterday, Barb and Zietz and I. We were talking about consciousness and how we, through that consciousness, are connected to everything, every living thing. And it's not the word that is needed. It is simply the intent within your own heart. That heart that beats within you is also the connector to your spiritual self.
I believe that.
And I also believe
that every single action you take, every single love that you share affects every single person and every single thing on this planet.
Yes, it does.
You're absolutely right. I'm so incredibly connected to this earth than I have ever felt in my entire life doing what it is that we do. I'm sitting here telling you that nature will love you back if you love nature, and I can prove it. You come out and spend some time with me, you'll see it's true.
Yeah. I agree. You know, I was born and raised in the thick of things, nature-wise. I was surrounded by more of nature than I was people. And I grew up understanding that connection. And it's a connection that you can't duplicate it. You can't get a piece of electronics working. You can't get your TV to do the same thing. You can't get your iPhone to do the same thing. You can't get your computer to do the same thing. Only through the living self of everything that we're connected to on this earth, through the trees, the plants, the birds, the animals, every living thing. You know, there's how many times have you ever seen people sit down, and I think this is a wondrous thing, we'll be sitting and chatting in a circle out in nature, and one person will be sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, 25 butterflies come up and land on that person, you know, or fly around that person, or a mosquito hawk will come and land on your leg, and they'll just sit there, you know, and you can move around and you can talk, and they're constantly just right there. They're communicating, they're talking to you, they're giving to you what you're giving to them, you know, they're reciprocating. And they need us as much as we need them in that respect. And if we look at the world today, we see that nature is stepping up. Nature is calling out to us. Nature is trying to get our attention to say, hey, let's connect. And we're seeing it everywhere. I see so many videos that people have taken where nature has come to them. They didn't go to nature. Nature came to them and expressed itself and its trust and its love and the change that comes over these people.
Let me prove what you just said. You know, I said earlier, I said, build it and they will come. And I was, when I think about that, I'm thinking about the people. I have seen something happening here on this land. I saw a bird the other day that was so incredibly beautiful. I mean, it was the most beautiful blue that I've ever seen in my entire life. Never seen a bird look like that before. And all the time while I'm working this land and I'm you know, cleaning it up and I'm doing what I'm doing out here, you know, I didn't realize, but the wildlife that has showed up on this land, the deer, I was, like saying, I was standing not more than 10 feet away from a rabbit, and the rabbit wasn't afraid of me. I was standing not more than 5 feet away from a deer. The deer wasn't afraid of me. The turtle's waiting for me to bring it food. And I was just looking around me, and I said, man, I am so incredibly blessed. I just wish the rest of the world could be like that.
Yeah, it's something, and you know, it's terrible to think of, but I do think all the time if people could just experience this, when I experience it, it is the most, it is the most uplifting and fulfilling. You know, I often talk about it that feeds my spirit.
Yeah.
And if people could just experience that in mass across the globe, we would have a change. We would have a change in mindset. The fear would melt away, I do believe, you know. People would start looking at each other in a different light.
I think the more people that keep doing what it is that we're doing, not just with the words that we're, wisdom that we're sharing with the world and all the links and information, but actually, you know, finding a piece of property and taking some love into that property and making it look good and working, you know, beside nature and just trying to do something so profound. The more people that see that kind of deal, if they walk on that piece of property and they feel the peace that I feel in my heart when I'm out here, it's incredible, Patty. It's beyond words.
Yes, it is. And you know, Shaziz, you don't have to have, when you're connected with nature, when you come home to nature and it opens its arms to you and you open your arms to it, nothing else really matters. You don't worry about that big house. You don't worry about that nice car. You don't worry about those things that belong to the material world. There's something that comes over you. There's such a comfort. It's like a soft blanket, you know, and all the other things melt away. And I can speak to this because I know, when I am in my bus in the middle of nowhere without electricity, without conveniences that we take for granted today, I am my happiest. I am my most fulfilled. Waking up in the morning is a joy because I hear nature. Nature is what the first voice that I hear in the morning, and I wake up realizing just how blessed I am and how grateful I am just to be a part of this, just to be able to hear life around me.
Yeah.
You know? There is nothing in this world that is more beautiful. There is nothing in this world to me that has more meaning than being a part of that.
I'd like to point something out to everybody listening out there. It doesn't matter. You know, I always talk about this land that I own. I don't own this land. It's just I'm being the caretaker. It's actually... You know, it belongs to my creator, and it belongs to you. It belongs to everybody out there. This whole world, it don't matter. There's no ownership of nothing. This land is your home. This earth is your home. And so if you want to experience what it is that we're talking about on your own scale or whatever, just go out there and see the world. Go out there to the parks. Go out to the streams and just see it and just feel it. Just pay attention to what nature's telling you. And if you look down in the stream and you see a big old piece of junk laying there and got the strength to drag it out, do it. You just took that one scratch that was on the world and you made it look better. You may not have fixed it all, but you at least tried to maintain it. You see what I'm trying to say here, Patty?
Yeah, you did something in a positive fashion. You threw a positive pebble. You helped. You healed, and that heals you. You know, our mother is sick because she's hurting. She's sick because of what's been done to her. And anything that we do to heal her, anything that we do to heal those who are suffering like us, that are not like us,
yeah.
Anything that we do is positive.
I think that's why I'm seeing so much wildlife moving into this land right here, because the creator or the mother earth or whatever, nature sees the good spots and says, hey, look, y'all, go over there, stand on old Shaziz's land or Patty's land And, you know, you're going to be all right there, and hopefully everybody else will start cleaning up theirs as well.
Well, yeah, and you can hear the birds talking to each other. You can hear the squirrels. Hey, dude, man, you ought to come where I'm at. You know, hey, look what we got, you know. You know, I go out to Betsy's. I don't have my land. I lost it.
Well, I'll tell you what, every place that you put your feet is your land. It belongs to all of us. That's the way it was meant to be.
Yeah. But when I go out to Betsy's, because I'm not in my bus anymore, and sometimes I just have to, I have to breathe, I have to ground, I have to get back to the mother and put my feet in the dirt, I'll go out to Betsy's, and in the morning we'll go out on her porch, and she's her property is so unique where she's at, because we live in Kansas, and you know Kansas with the farmland, it's just flat and nothing but agriculture. But Betsy's land, there's only like 6 people living on the mile stretch that Betsy lives on, and she's the last property there. She has 10 acres. And if you go to Google Map, you'll see that you can always find Betsy's land because it's totally forested.
Wow.
From the tip of the road all the way back, and it's all natural. Well, it was planted with pecan trees, but it's all, she's, you know, it's all overgrown and everything, but the life that is on that land is amazing. It is amazing. All the birds, they come right up to you. You know, they're right there. The woodpeckers will be right there. You can see them. The hummingbirds come up. All the different songbirds, and they come out and they greet you every morning. Every single morning, you sit out there with your coffee, and you hear the conversations that are going on. And the deer, all the turtles, the raccoons, the possums, all of them, they live on this land, this little 10-acre stretch, and it is so fertile with life. You can tell, you know, they're sending out flyers. Hey, dude, come on over here, you know.
We got
get out of the wheat field.
We got a family of turkeys that live on this property, and it's so cool because they walk by just like they were your pet ducks. I mean, it's no big deal for them to just come on by, you know. I'm talking to them on the way by. How y'all doing today?
Yeah, it's the same. When we lived out there on the farm before it got flooded, every morning, every evening, we got to watch the deer come out, you know, and they'd watch us. We watched each other, you know. It's like, hey, what you doing today?
You know,
nice to see you.
The more they come out, and the more they see you, and the more they realize that every single time that you're around, everything's all right. They don't take off running anymore.
No. The turkeys would come right up under our carport. You know.
That's so cool. I got a video of a raccoon. I should put that out there somewhere. But I got a video of a raccoon and her babies out there eating cat food out of the cats. The cats will lay down over there when they're done eating, and the raccoon will come up and eat cat food, and then every once in a while, a possum will come rolling by. And the possum isn't fighting with the raccoon, the cats aren't fighting with the raccoon or the possum or any of it. It's a sight to behold. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Because
you're part of that.
Yeah. I'm sitting right there on the front step, and I'm not more than 3 feet away from these, what would have normally been wild animals that just come up there, and they feel comfortable that they got food, and the little babies, mama, raccoon, you know, first they were kind of hesitant to come up there, but the more I talked to them, the more they just come up there just like they were at home, and I thought that was so awesome.
Yeah, there's so much we can learn from nature, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. I wish the rest of the world could experience this, Patty. I really do, because if they did, they would have a light at the end of the tunnel. They'd have some hope in their heart. And
well, they'd see a different way, wouldn't they? They would see that, yeah, you can live together and you can flourish. You know? Yeah. That's the one thing that nature does teach us. There's not a single inch of nature that is not alive.
We don't have to give up technology. We don't have to give up the comforts of life. We can still have heating and cooling and all that kind of stuff. We got all the answers out there to literally do it the right way instead of the wrong way. We can have perfectly engineered machines that would work in perfect harmony with nature. Nature has already provided everything. We don't have to dig up the ground to make things happen. You know, we can do this thing. I'm telling you, there's people out there, environmentalists out there, that, you know, they go out and protest all these different companies and corporations for their atrocities towards nature. But they don't seem to understand that there's people out here that's trying to show them the answers to the problems, give them the solutions. And if we, instead of putting it in the hands of the representation and hoping they will somehow come to redemption, they're never going to try to redeem themselves, because the bottom line, the dollar is what is all that matters. The power structure is all that matters. They're not looking for redemption. And so as long as we the people are waiting for them to find a come to Jesus type moment or something like that, it ain't going to happen. We're going to have the status quo. We need the people out there to actually work with each other and to build these things that we talk about all the time.
That's exactly right. That's what's missing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The unity of the people.
You know, you've been told forever and a day you can't do this, and this is not possible. You've been told, you've been basically taught how to not believe in yourselves. You've been taught how to not believe in each other. You've been taught to fear one another. You were taught to literally notice differences in each other. You know, you weren't born a racist. You weren't born hateful. You weren't born a jerk. It's somehow in life, you were taught how to be like that. Or you chose to be like that. You tell me any baby, you put any number of color babies from any race, religion, color, creed, or whatever in the same baby bed, same playpen together. You tell me how many times you've ever seen them start fighting because one of them was different than the other.
Yeah, and you know, so many people have been brought up in a way that makes them apprehensive toward nature.
Yep.
That makes them feel that nature is in some ways a threat to them. But when we look at just the opposite, where people have raised their children in nature, we see children that have no fear of nature, that are thrilled with nature. I saw a video of a little baby. She was in diapers, so she couldn't have been too very old. She was walking and all. But there was a baby deer that was also there in the field where this little baby was. And the mother had the camera. And they played together. The baby deer came up, and the baby reached out and touched the baby deer. And the baby deer nuzzled the baby with its nose.
That's incredible.
Yeah, they ran around with each other. One chased one and then chased the other, and they were, you know, the baby was laughing and would reach up, and there was no fear whatsoever. It was the most beautiful thing. And the joy in that baby's laugh, you know, the wonder when you could see her reaching up to that baby deer and putting her hand on that deer and stroking, you know, the love and the wonder that was in that child. That's what our children need. That's what they need to be able to face what is out there. You know, to understand that this is not normal. What is normal is when I can walk up to nature and nature accepts me. You know, that unconditional, I recognize you as another living being. And that's all I need.
And it's amazing. It's also amazing to me how people in this world can literally walk by somebody in trouble and just keep on going and turn a blind eye. I can't do that. You know, I can't see a man standing there swallowing his pride, holding a sign saying, I need help, you know, without, you know, I take it literally. He said he needed help, so I'm going to help him whatever way I can.
Yeah, yeah. And it, you know, I've had friends that, I had a cousin, actually, we'd gone to a restaurant and I got it when I was down south. And one of my favorite things down south, there ain't nothing better, is a roast beef po' boy. Mm. You know, so we went to a restaurant. Yeah, we get this to go because we're on our way to her house, and we get in the car and we're going and we're in traffic and it's stopped and there's this homeless guy sitting there with a sign, and I rolled down my window and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to give this guy my lunch," and she said, "Don't you dare!" I mean, she got on to me and told me. They don't want that. He wants money. That's a scam and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, on and on and on. And I went ahead, called him over, and I gave it to him, and he was so thankful, went and sat down and immediately went after it. And I told her, I said, you know, it doesn't matter. I said, if I'd have gave him $20, it wouldn't matter what he did with it. It only mattered that I gave him that $20 or I refused to. And it only matters that I gave him that sandwich, not what he does with it,
yep.
Not his motivation. It's on me.
You and me are just alike on that, because I tell you what, I've had people tell me, oh, you're just going to buy drugs, you're just going to buy alcohol, and I'm saying, well, you know what? It's not me to judge. If that's the only comfort that man or woman gets out of their life, you know, who's to me to say what's right or wrong in their life?
Right. Me and Mark, when we lived in Texas, we'd go riding down, and on every street corner, practically, you'd see people standing there with signs, "We'll work for food." Every time we went to a corner, we gave money. You know, it was never a, if we saw somebody and we were coming up to that corner, we were already getting money out to give to them.
Yeah, I did that myself. I tried to do it. As fast as possible, I didn't even think about it. I just reached in my pocket. I had some cash in my pocket, and I knew I already had everything I needed. I didn't really need the cash. I probably would have wasted it on something else, and I couldn't get it out the window fast enough. I said, "God bless you. I hope this helps you out, brother," and went on down the road. You know?
Yeah. Well, I was brought up like that. My dad, you know, my mom.
It don't make me any better of a person than anybody else out there. It just means that I, myself, and Patty, and Barbara, and all these folks in this chat room, and these radio shows and networks, we get it. That's it. That's the only thing it means, is that we get it. We understand the meaning of life. And we're trying to spread that message to everybody and his brother, every ear that we'll hear. We're trying to spread that message of hope out there. You got so much more power than you can possibly imagine. And when it comes to nature and working in harmony with nature, nature will bless you 1,000 times over for every good thing that you do.
Well, when it comes to humanity, if you can't see your way to help another human being, regardless, if that's not, if you can't find that in your heart, then you really need to check yourself to find out where that disconnect is.
Yeah,
because there's nothing that can ever hurt.
On the other side of the spectrum, one day it might be you in that position.
It has been me in that position.
Yeah, me too.
And there's always been someone there.
Every time.
There has always been someone there.
You're right. Every time either one of us has ever been in need. It, you know, we may not, you know, there's a saying that the Lord don't always give you what you want, but He always gives you what you need. I can't remember a time, even when I was at the poorest, I didn't enjoy the food that I had because it wasn't the best of anything. It was probably terrible food, considered what most people were eating, but I was so blessed and honored to even have that. I got everything that I needed, from the people in my life to the food that I ate, the clothes on my back, even if they were the worst looking clothes you can imagine. And I took a lot of heat going to school because I was always dressed like a, what they classify as a geek or a nerd or whatever, you know. My clothes always clashed. And so kids can be cruel to each other, you know. I wasn't wearing Nikes and stuff like that.
And I was a hand-me-downer.
Yeah, me too. I get my brother's clothes, and by the time I get my brother's clothes, I've already grown my legs a little bit longer, and I was wearing high waters.
Yeah, I got one pair of shoes at the start of the school year, and those shoes lasted me all year. And if they were still good for the next year, that was my shoes to start school with. It never affected me in a negative way. I never cared. And still to this day, I really don't care. I don't buy new clothes. I don't buy new shoes. You know, I either make shoes or I find them at the little care and share or you know, the places where they sell used clothing and stuff.
That's cool because what I learned from my episode was that, you know, I didn't care what other kids said about my clothes and my shoes.
Right.
I was just thankful because I knew that somewhere in this world there was some other kid that didn't have those shoes.
Yeah, yeah. And you know,
Patty. I'd have gave them to him. If I'd seen another kid without those shoes, I'd have gave him my shoes. That's what my mom always tried to say. Boy, you got to take care of yourself so you can be strong and help others. But, you know, you can't be giving away everything you got. You know, and I said, Mom.
If you don't need it, if I don't need it, Mom, why don't I give it to somebody who does? Yeah, yeah. And my kids are just like that. They care that much, you know, that they can look over themselves and see the needs of others and be willing without feeling guilt or without feeling like they're being put upon, to do what they can. And that's simply what it is, isn't it? Do what you can, when you can, and where you can.
Well, your kids are lucky. They got a great mama. They got a good mama like I had a good mama. I still have a good mama. She's still alive. Me and my mama got an awesome relationship.
My mom and my dad have both passed on over, but yeah, it's their teachings of showing their walk, not just their words, you know. I grew up learning these things by them showing me these things. That it doesn't matter. Anything that you own, no matter how precious you think it is, if you give it away, it's not precious to you anymore. It doesn't carry that meaning. Only while you hold it and you have it in your hand and you say, this is mine, that's the only time it matters to you. Once you give that away, you don't have that mine anymore. And I know this, you know. Everything I have given everything away and been given back.
Yeah, it keeps
coming
back.
Much. Yeah. That it doesn't matter. I have no attachment to things. Things don't, you know, well, my computer, because it's my lifeline to you guys. Yeah, you can hear him laughing in the background, can't you?
Yeah.
My cat yesterday, Red Boy, jumped up over here by my computer, and it was his turn to say, Mom, watch me throw this hairball, you know? And so I run over here, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. But he missed it. But, you know, that's the only thing. They're
so
laughing
cool.
in the background.
That's so cool. Well, somewhere along life, I learned the most valuable lesson. You know, I came into this world broke as a joke, and I'm going to go out the same. And you know what? I don't feel bad about that. I'm actually humbled by life. I'm so grateful to even be here, to be able to talk to you and everybody else out here. To me, it's an honor. It's an honor to do these shows. It's an honor to be a servant to my brothers and sisters around the world. I'm not ashamed to be a servant. I'm not ashamed to be a caretaker because just like you just said, you gave everything you had away. And it just kept coming back to you. No matter how hard, you could try it. Try it sometime, folks. Go out there and give away all the love in your heart. Give it away. And see how bad it, how much it floods back in. You can't empty your love out of your heart. You can't do it. It's just, it's not possible. Your most powerful tool in your arsenal is the love in your heart. And if you use that and you focus your energies, your power, your spoken word, and your actions and stuff, you'll notice a change around you, not just in the people, but nature itself, as you start seeing that people just want to be around you. Nature just wants to be around you. Because they know in your heart it is a sanctuary. They know in your heart safety and truth. And as long as you're like, you know, I put this picture out of a lighthouse one day and I was trying to explain to somebody what it meant to be a lighthouse. And, you know, that lighthouse stands out there. It doesn't do it for any notoriety or any fame or fortune or nothing. But so many people's lives have been saved and affected by just that visual of the lighthouse, that if you yourself was like that lighthouse, and you did it just because, you would be so surprised at the circle that you would be in. I mean, this is amazing when we get together and we talk, how sometimes I feel like I'm speaking your words, Patty.
That's because we're speaking from the heart. And it's all the same, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a good thing. I love the Knights of the Round Table. And I
think that your shows are some of the most awesome shows on the internet, which is, I truly do, because of the messages and because of what you have in your heart, what you're trying to do. I truly do. I have always supported you, and I have always thought that your shows actually open the heart. They are there to simply connect I think that you do such an awesome job. Awesome job.
Well, sometimes I start these shows out with words like, you know, help me to understand is what I said today. And it, sometimes they start off with a harsh message, but they all have the same goal in mind, is to open up people's minds and hearts to possibilities of what we literally could accomplish if we could just, you know, become, understand first off that we're just a piece of the puzzle. We're just one little piece of a big picture, and until we finally figure it out and come together, we can never complete that picture. And every individual out there, every life available, all these, this picture that I talked about with this baby in here, he's one piece of the puzzle. Look at the life that he's got now as opposed to the life that he had before. And now he has hope. He might be the next doctor. He might be the next missionary or person to go out there and do that for somebody else. He might uplift hundreds, if not thousands, of children. Whereas before, his time was ticking. He didn't have a future at the point where he was before that lady reached down and began that miracle. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And you know, I think that people get so caught up in the world and what the trinkets and the baubles and the bells and the whistles, that they forget that humanity is part of that world and it's part of who they are. You can't run away from it.
No.
It's like there was a time a while back I was doing my show one day and I was trying to tell people to reach out to others. And this one person had said, you know, that's easy to say, but there's so many homeless out there and you can't bring them food and you can't do this anymore. I said, wait a minute. I said, if you want to truly help a homeless person, nothing's standing in your way. No law can keep you from helping that person. If a person is homeless, you can bring them to your house. If a person is hungry, you can bring them to your house. you can open yourself to that person. And it's not impossible, because my dad did it his whole life, and I was part of that, of him finding people and bringing them and giving them a place. Sometimes the people lived in one of my dad's cars that were at his auto body shop, because they had no other place and we had no place for them to go. Sometimes they moved into our house. My dad always had food every single day at the shop. And if someone was seeing a homeless person walking on the road, which there were quite a few, my dad sent us over there to ask that person if they would like to come and join us for a meal. And those people wound up working for my dad and living either with us or in a car until we could find them ways to help themselves.
Yep.
And this was my whole life, so I know it's possible, and I know that nothing stands in your way of helping somebody. It's what you are willing to put out there. That's the only thing that separates you from what you want to see.
That's right.
What you're willing to put out there.
And if you don't want to bring them to your house, go down to your local costume shop, buy a Batman suit, go down to the grocery store and make them a sandwich. Run by and hand it to them and outrun the authorities, and they'll be like, who was that masked man? Look, where there's a will, there's a way. You fill your pockets up with vegetable seeds, and as you're walking down doing your daily jog or hike through your community, find a vacant lot and throw them out there, you know? You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, I used to always tell people, there's no reason why anybody the homeless people should be hungry, because there is food growing everywhere. There's food growing up between the cracks in the cement.
Yeah, show them where to find it.
You know, but they don't know this.
Show them where to find it.
Exactly.
You know, build community gardens in your neighborhoods.
Right.
Everybody's got a vacant lot, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Come together, buy that vacant lot as a community from whoever owns it, and turn that thing into a community garden. And you'll start seeing people come out, you know, people that are homeless, and they know that if they come there and help you out, it's, you know, not as good as maybe a paying job, but at least you're going to get some food and satisfaction and fellowship out of it. Am I wrong?
No, and have you seen that video that they've got out there where they had a homeless veteran who was sitting on the sidewalk in the city, and these three brothers decided to do an experiment, and this homeless vet was in his, oh, maybe 50, and in his 50s, and the younger brother, who was only maybe late teens, early 20s, they gave this kid his little sign and his little pot, and they said, you know, go sit over there next to that vet and with a homeless sign. Well, people came walking by, and the people kept giving to the young kid. And there was a meter maid who came by, and she gave to the kid, and then she walked over to the vet, and she started berating him, and she took her hat off and hit him with the hat and just treated him terribly, and so did all the other people, as if he wasn't deserving, and only this child was with the sign. And this went on for the whole day, and they had it on video, and at the end of it, this man told this child, have you eaten? And the child just, you know, he shook his head no. And he said, hold on. He took what change he had in his little cup and went and bought food for him and the boy. This homeless man.
Yep.
This is what it's all about. This homeless person had more humanity in him than all of these people that passed him by and berated him and treated him terribly. I mean terribly, because he was a veteran who had been dealt badly by the government and by the people themselves, who turned their backs on him after he had gone and given everything he had. Whether you agree with what he went and did or not, he did it for a reason, and he thought he was doing the right thing, and he paid the highest price.
There's a story out there.
Except he'd come back in a box.
There's a story out there of a pastor who dressed up like a homeless man and went to a church that he was getting ready to become the pastor of. And when he went into the church, the people looked at him like he was dirty and, you know, diseased, and wanted him to sit in the back. And actually, somebody asked him to sit in the back because he wasn't dressed as well as everybody else and all that. And so he's at this place that's supposed to be a house of God, and he's dressed like a homeless man, and they're all basically, you know, treating him as if he's less, you know. And according to the Christian faith, you know, God said, what you do unto the least of me, you do unto me. And instead of them recognizing those words and treating that person as if he was an equal because of the way he was dressed, they did what they did. Well, imagine the look on their faces when the present pastor of the church called this man up and said, I want you guys to meet the new pastor of your church. Suddenly, everything had changed, you know, the name, the notoriety of being the pastor of the church, and the shame of what they felt of how they treated this individual, not knowing all along. They just judged him by the way that he was dressed, and instead of treating him like they would, you know, have treated their others or anybody dressed the same as them, they treated him so poorly. And he stood up before that church and basically told them that he believed that they had learned everything that they needed to learn for the day, and he left. That's the kind of life lesson that people, I hope they get before it gets down to something like that. You know, our world, it's so messed up, it's going to take a long time to clean it up. But the thing is, it's going to start with the way that you look at your brothers and sisters out there. And I say, help me to understand why this world is the way that it is, that we even have the terminology homeless, when we've been given such an amazing gift. You know, it doesn't matter how you believe we got here or whatever. The fact is, if you look around you and if you understand enough about basic science and physics and all that, you could see that this world has an overabundance of resources that are not necessary to be fought over. And if we utilize this world and we worked in perfect harmony with nature and one another, we could. In theory, of course, because obviously there's the naysayers out there to say, well, you'll never be able to do that because the secret societies or the governments or whatever, blah, blah, I've heard it all. The fact of the matter is, the potential to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, is within we the people's grasp. But it's only there if we choose it.
Right. And here's another thing, too. I mean, if you are thinking up reasons why you can't, then you're never going to.
Yep.
You know, and that's on you. Everything, do what you can, when you can, and where you can. And if you don't, that's on you. That's not on anyone else. It's not anyone else's blame. It's not the controller's blame. You know, it's not the law's blame. It's your blame. You are the one who are in control of what you do, what you give.
That's right. Henry Ford said, if you think you can, yep. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. If you really
That's absolutely right.
If you really seriously think about what he said right there, That sums it up, man.
And if you can't do what you can, when you can, and where you can, how can you expect that everybody else should, you know?
Yep.
You've got to walk the talk.
Talk the talk and walk the walk. I don't know what you're trying to say. Thomas, are you there?
Well, you can talk the talk and you can walk the talk. And I'd rather walk that talk than talk it.
Some people say actions speak louder than words, but I think you need both.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey.
How you
doing? Yeah, I don't know, man. I think the words are only important for communication. They're not there to get an idea to someone, but they're not the only way to do it.
No,
I think the walking. You know what they say about money talks and BS walks, right? So you know.
Well, I think that in order for people to think that something's possible, they have to believe it. And in order
that's why the money talks and the BS walks, because the money is believed to be power.
Yeah.
So what they're really saying is power, action, talks, and all the flapping of the gums, it can take a hike because it's never going to get anything done.
Well, I'm going to keep flapping mine with words of wisdom.
This is the thing, though. It should only be used for a method of coordinating, because this is what has set us apart from all the other animals that we have observed in our environment and has allowed us to survive against things. And think about it. You put a single man against a tiger, what happens?
Yeah, tiger usually going to win.
Yeah, he's going to get his lunch eaten because that tiger has bigger claws, bigger teeth, bigger muscles, but it doesn't communicate properly with other tigers with the intent and the interest in ganging up.
But then again, the money talks. If you give a tiger $100, he's still going to kill you.
But now here's this shows the importance of money and the downfall in one single fell swoop. If you try to hand a tiger $100, I don't care how much money you've got. You try to hand it a piece of gold, he'll still eat you. But if you've got enough gold, you can motivate enough people to stop that tiger from eating anyone. And not without even hurting it. Just lock it up so you can look at it.
Well,
think... Now, what I'm saying is, it's not the money that did it. It's the cooperation of the people working together.
Yeah.
So that's where the value in the discussion it really lies, is in the ability to coordinate and cooperate so that you can complete tasks with many hands that a single pair of hands could never accomplish.
Yep. And that's why I shouted out from the mountain, is because that lady right there, she probably didn't have the funds to take that baby from where she took that baby all the way up to the, you know, cute little red jumpsuit and his little backpack, and he's sitting there looking so healthy as opposed to what he was. She went out there, she used her actions and her words to motivate others to get this baby the care needed in order to bring this baby's quality of life up. And I'm just saying that if that one lady can accomplish a miracle so profound that everyone else out there, if they could only understand that they have that potential as well, could do exactly what we've been talking about all along. That's my hope by doing this radio show, is that I can help to inspire and motivate somebody out there to go out and inspire and motivate somebody else out there. I don't just sit around and talk. I do things. I help people. We got people that stay with us that aren't family that we help up, and they move along and they do their thing. And you know, we use our home as a sanctuary for people that, you know, need a place to rest their head, and need a place to know that the whole world isn't bad. And I believe that if you open your hearts and your homes to other people like that, you're going to get burnt once in a while. It's the way life is. But no matter how many times my wife and I have been burnt, she's still out helping the elderly. She's out helping her mom. She's out helping the homeless. She's out doing... She's dedicated her life to helping everybody but herself, and in the process has helped herself spiritually and everything else, because the feeling that you get when you do something so profound for the world out there, I have to sit down and remind her every once in a while of how much good she has actually done and how much better that I feel that she is than myself. Because I don't have the physical strength to keep up with that lady. She's such a wonderful individual. Such a loving heart, such a loving soul. I got a lot of good words that I can say, and I got a lot of love that I can pull out of my heart. But in order for me to get out there and actually do what she's been able to accomplish, I don't think I've got what it takes. But I still do what I can. I still take it to wherever my limits are. I go as far as I can. And that's all you can do. You can't go out and conquer the world. You can't go out and save the world by yourself. It's too big. The whole weight of the world doesn't belong on any individual's backs. It belongs on all of us to help ease each other's burden and make things better. I want to see a world for my grandchildren and their grandchildren and to infinity and beyond. I want to see the world progressing in a good way. And I feel that our words and our actions right here now are laying down the stones that they will step on into the future. Maybe we'll never get recognition for it. You know, maybe we'll never be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor, but somebody before us laid down the path that we had to walk. And somebody before us is responsible for the kind of people that we are today because of the lessons that we learned in life, be they harsh or wonderful. I owe something to my ancestors because of the path that they set me on. And if it ain't my ancestors that I owe something to, it's the future generations that I'm going to leave this earth behind. You know, I love those people who go camping and fishing to the parks and stuff, and when they leave the place looking better than it was when they got there. Because for every scratch that's on this earth that you patch, you're at least helping to maintain. That's a step forward.
Soft pass.
Yeah. I believe in the dream. I know to a lot of people out there that the dream is so impossible. I believe in the dream regardless, no matter what. Old crazy-haired Shaziz will be the last man standing on the battlefield of the apocalypse trying to shout it out to the world. Can't we all just get along and work together? So, as long as I got that spirit inside me, my body may not be as good as it should be or was before, but the spirit inside me is so incredibly strong and so in tune with this world and the needs therein. And I feel obligated, I feel honored, I feel humbled. I want to share that with everyone. And if you could just sometime, somehow, some way, see through my eyes the way I see this world and the possibilities, you'd understand why it is that I do what I do. I'm not special and I don't want to be a king or a leader. I just want to be a friend, a servant, a caretaker, a brother. I just want to be part of your family, and I want to make our family the best we possibly can. It's time for a family reunion. And I'm not talking about just your immediate family. I'm talking about this world. It's time for us to get together and do what my grandfather and my grandmother used to do long ago. They'd bring us together.
There's a lot of healing that needs to be done. But here is the good part about it, is that there's enough of us that we can provide all that healing
yep.
toward each other.
they'd bring us together. They'd fill our hearts with love, and we'd put down all our differences, and we would do what families do. We'd laugh and fun and have a good time together. And those are the memories that are glued into my mind. Those are the memories of a couple individuals that I call Grandma and Grandpa back in the day. They were the glue that held the family together. And I'm saying that you right now, I don't care if you're just a teenager right now, someday you might be the Grandma and Grandpa. You be that glue that holds your family together. In this world out here, that's your family. There's some real jerks out there. There's some people that really don't care. You have to work your way around them.
You don't have to cozy up to those people.
Nope.
You know? You don't have to. But those who are receptive, those who are willing, those who do see the truth in your words and in your heart, those are the people that are going to reach out to others. And it's a chain reaction. It's a pay it forward. If you give love, if you show love and understanding, if you show compassion, if you show empathy, then that person who is the recipient of that also takes that within themselves and passes it on. They can see the good of what you're doing because it affects them. And every time that you affect another person's life in a positive way, then that person has the will to go and help another person.
Yep.
You know?
Help us find a way to put a house out for the homeless. Help us find a way to feed the hungry. You know, if there's anything that I can do and anything I can give, I give whatever I got. Just cut out the middle man and take it right to the needy. That's all I ask. You know, we do the best we can with what we got to work with, and that's all that can be asked of us. I mean, I don't have a corporate jet. I don't have millions of dollars to get on TV and shout it out to the world. But you can share this podcast with other people out there and spread that message. You know, if I had, I got so much in my mind and heart to say, and I know Patty does and Thomas does, and there's so many solutions out there, so many ways to fix all the things that need to be fixed in this world. You know, the alternative is to allow it to do what it does and just be total chaos, and you stay in your own little bubble and the world around you just does what it does and collapses. We're all in the same doggone boat together. I don't care what you think this earth is, or whether it even exists, or if it's just a dream. It doesn't matter. We're all here together. And if you're willing to walk past somebody, like that baby in that picture, or that man with the homeless sign, or somebody in need, someday you might be sitting there holding that sign, and your brothers and sisters might just walk past you. Sometime we got to reach some sort of enlightenment, whether spiritual or wisdom or otherwise. We got to reach some sort of enlightenment, otherwise humanity going down the path that we're going. Proof of concept is, if you look back in 1965, that little clip that I keep playing, what Paul Harvey said, if I were the devil, he'd just keep on doing what he's doing. And that's the direction we're heading right now. There's still people out bombing other nations. There's still people robbing and stealing from each other. You're not going to be able to touch their hearts until something in this world changes so profoundly. And you know, one of the things, and probably the last point I'll make, because we're getting down to the wire. I've been to many, many funerals in my family. I put a lot of my loved ones in the grave. And I was a pallbearer so many times that I just don't even care to say. But I stood up in front of my family on couple different occasions, and I spoke to my family from the heart, and I told them, I said, look, I know y'all got your differences and you got your problems and stuff, but I said it is a crying shame that it takes a tragedy to bring our family together. And my greatest fear of all is that it will take a serious tragic of biblical proportions to bring this world together. My hope is that by us spreading this word like we're doing here and having these conversations like we do, that we will inspire the world to try to take a different path. And at least if we try, if you do something, then something gets accomplished. If you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. That's my philosophy or my feelings or my thoughts on the matter, and I don't know what better way to say it than how it's already been said. I just want for the world peace, hope, and love. And in some people's minds, that might be a bit too much to ask, but that's all I got to offer, and so that's what I'm trying to give. So with that said, it's time to go around the table, Patty. You got any last thoughts on the matter?
Well, once again, she says, thank you so much for doing what you do and for allowing me to be a part of it. And I guess, I think what I want to say is never, ever pass up an opportunity to experience love, and never, ever pass up an opportunity to show love. There is nothing greater that you will ever feel in your life than love, unconditional love. And there is no greater gift that we have, that we can give, that is greater than love. And it's one of the hardest things today for us to have to reconcile with because of what we see going on. And we have so many reasons to hate each other. We have so many reasons to walk away from each other. At least that's what we've been told. But all of those things melt away in the face of love. None of them hold any weight. None of them hold any truth greater than love. So if we come from love, and we become love, and we pass that love on, we have never lost any battle. We have always won. And that's what we're here for. We're here to win. We're here to win in love. And we have the capacity, we have the power, we have the ability to do just that. Thank you.
Well, Patty,
love you, Shaziz.
Your words are always inspiring, and I'm always humbled and honored for you to join us at the Knights of the Round Table. You are truly one of the honorable knights. You know, you and Thomas and Barbara and all the people that join us on these networks, you guys and gals give me the strength to literally say the words that I say. You guys give me the inspiration to open my heart to the world. And I am forever grateful. It appears like Thomas left up out of here, so I was going to give him the last word, but maybe he said all he has to say for the moment. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. And all I'm ever asking of you, in return for the time that I spend sitting here saying what I say and doing what I do, is to spread the message out there. Tell people, come here and join in. Tell them to show us where the needs are in the world. Tell them to help us find the solutions, to help us point it out, to help us inspire others, to inspire even more people. Be those positive pebbles thrown in the pond that send the ripples out that affect everybody in a good way. We have the power to stop all the wars. We have the power to end all the sickness and the homelessness and the starvation. We just have to understand that it all rests in our hands. Not through any representation, not through any government or form of religion, We the people doing what we were designed to do all along. Everybody out there has got a heart. And inside that heart, there's a good part and there's a bad part. That was your free will. That was your gift. Patty, sometimes gifts are painful. But there's a good reason why they're there. You think?
Yeah. Most of the time when we think that things can't get any worse, you know, when we think that I can't get through this, we wake up the next day and we move on.
That's right. Every day you get a fresh new slate. The sun comes up. They say it rises in the east and it sets in the west. And every single day is a new day, and you got the option to do what you did yesterday or to go on forward and make something right or wrong. I'm hoping, and Patty's hoping, and everybody else is hoping you do something right for one another. Because on the path that we're on, well, you've seen where we've gotten so far. But the hope out there, and I wish there was some way that I could meet that lady that helped that baby. I wish there was some way that I could visit her face to face. Because I give that lady the biggest hug that she's ever had in her entire life, because that was truly a miracle. In my mind, she's a miracle. And that's what we need. So with that said, everybody, peace and love. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you...
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
some more table. So many times we give and rise that are quite unsignable. We're automatic, we're increasing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Says the turbo, always working, she says the turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table.